So maybe moving over to non-squamous, again, patients without targetable mutations, of course, because of the presence of the FDA approval and the option of chemo plus checkpoint inhibitors, that became a little bit different. And what we saw there is that for patients who had TPS scores less than 50%, there was kind of a split. About two-thirds of the investigators in general are going with chemotherapy, and about a third are going with chemotherapy, carbo-pem, and pembrolizumab. But interestingly, when we turn, and of course, this is just sort of their general practice pattern. We know that people vary based on what the individual situation is. But when we said the TPS was over 50%, the vast majority of investigators would use a checkpoint inhibitor alone and not use the combination. So I'm curious, first of all, how that lines up with your practice and what you think sort of the content forces are that are determining it.
First, I'll say that when I looked through the entire survey, the thing that jumped out at me most was how people have taken up the combination of carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab. I personally had not taken that into my practice, and I think when I view use of immunotherapy and chemotherapy, I view very much that we're going to consider this for all patients. And is it a sequential approach where you give chemotherapy first, followed by immunotherapy, or is it a combined approach where you combine them all together? And I think time and again in clinical trials that we've done in patients with non-small cell lung cancer, we've seen that if you combine three agents, you always get a higher response rate. You always get a better progression-free survival, but it comes with the cost of excess toxicity as compared to just doing a sequential approach. Good solid one-third of my colleagues have already adopted the combined approach up front. Clearly, we can imagine a setting in which the combination is the best thing. And I think some of the survey data showing that in those patients who are highly symptomatic, where you feel like you don't have a lot of opportunities to try multiple therapies, that doing that combination up front really would be the hot place for these patients.
I'm curious about kind of what you hear about the rationale for those people who are using the triplet. One thing that I could envision is the question of, is the patient going to get to second line therapy? I don't know in your own practice or what numbers we have about people who just don't get to second line therapy. What we've seen is that they usually do. But if you say to yourself, the thing that's really going to make the difference to a patient is whether or not they have a prolonged, you know, period of disease-free benefit, and the only thing that's going to get that to them is a checkpoint inhibitor, and from an FDA approval, you can't use it first line. Does that kind of thinking kind of work for you?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And I think that we do want to get patients that great response. But we do sometimes see those great responses with chemotherapy. And I think one of the other important things for me as I think about how to incorporate this combination data into my practice is that I've got a lot of patients who respond. And then when they respond, if they respond to the triplet, what are we going to continue? Are we going to continue chemotherapy? Are we going to continue immunotherapy? How long do we continue any component of that? And I think that that gets much more complicated. And that's why the combined approach is more challenging, because you don't know what they responded to. If you took a sequential approach and you saw that they responded beautifully to carboplatin pemetrexed, and then you were able to continue that for a year or two, then you've done really great things for that patient. But if you gave them the triplet and they respond and you're not sure what they respond to, then you continue with the carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab for a little bit. And then at the maintenance point, you try to figure out, do you continue pemetrexed and pembrolizumab? Then they're continuing a drug that may have immunotherapy side effects when they're not necessarily deriving the benefit. And you can make the contrasting story as well, when somebody's clearly going to benefit from immunotherapy, but for whatever reason their PD-L1 was low, wouldn't it be better if they were just getting immunotherapy and not getting chemotherapy as well?